This morning our scripture is taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It's the end of the book of Ephesians. Paul is getting ready to close out a very wonderful book. And so in verse 10, he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This morning we begin a series that we're going to be presenting this summer on equipping the believer. Equipping the believer. Since the beginning of the year, we've preached on various topics such as stress and anger, things like that. And those things are very needful for us to address because we have problems with those things. Some of you have more problems than others. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we're ready to quit. And only the wolves at the door keep us going back to work. But the real solution to a lot of those problems can either be one of two things. Either we treat the problem or we prevent the problem. And so, this summer we want to be into preventive medicine. Preventive medicine, we treat you so that you don't get the problem, rather than after you got the problem, see if we can solve it. I think that in America we have a real problem with preventive things. We never worry about what caused it, we just want to now fix it. And I think that a lot of times, in a lot of areas, if we would go back and find out the cause of the problems, we would realize where we need to go. And so in this passage this morning, that he talks about putting on the armor of God, talks about all the different parts and things like that. And I think that what you find in this series on equipping the believer is that by taking the preventative methods, you can overcome a lot of the struggles and the trials and the problems that we have. You overcome them before they come your way. And so today I want to kind of give you an introductory message. An introductory message, a message that kind of introduces you to the whole subject, but doesn't really cover any one specific point. The first thing that I think that we need to realize is that we are in a battle. I see this around us all the time. I watch on the political realm. I read about the latest religious meeting someplace of some great denomination, and I see how it seems that they've taken a step, a little, in my view anyway, a little farther from where they need to be. Or I listen to some politician, or I look at some political group, and I realize that we're in a battle. As a matter of fact, sometimes all I have to do to see that I'm in a battle is just look at my own life. Now, I know you may not have that problem, but I have battles. I have battles on whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing. You ever have those battles? You heard about the fellow one time that got up in the morning, rolled over in bed, and he says, "I'm not going to church today." He said, "I'm tired of going to church. I don't want to go to church. Those people down at the church don't like me. I'm not going back." His wife said, "Honey, you got to go. You're the pastor." Well, sometimes you get up, and like I said, it's been one of those mornings, you know. Everything goes wrong. Everybody faces those struggles. There isn't anyone here who is not of a thinking age who doesn't face struggles. We have a battle. If you don't see a battle any farther than outside of your own self, that will be sufficient to take care of all of the effort that you can muster. But there is a much larger battle. There's a much greater scheme of things that Paul is talking about here. This is the book of Ephesians is one of Paul's four prison epistles. They believe that Paul wrote this while he was in prison at Rome. And some people believe that he may have been in the association with some of the gladiators. No doubt he was with the soldiers because that's how they kept you in prison back in that day. Back in that day, they just didn't have a cell that they locked you up in. What they did is they put four soldiers to guard you. Now, that was terrible for Paul because, you see, he had a captive audience every day. As a matter of fact, in one of his letters, he tells us that because of the changing of the guard continually, that he had won many of those people to Jesus Christ. So here you know, 4 hours later, here comes four more soldiers. Paul says, "Do you guys know why I'm here? Let me tell you the story." But you see, Paul understood the Roman soldier. He understood their armament. He understood their battle plan. And as Paul sat there in prison at the end of his life, you get more experience as you get older, isn't that right? The kids don't think so, but someday they will. You get more experience as you get older, and Paul is at the end of his life now, and he realizes as he looks back on life that life was a battle. And in order to win the battle, there are certain things that you have to do. And one of the first things that you have to do is realize that you're in a battle. That's a pretty important part, isn't it? It'd be pretty dangerous for you to be walking down the street with a big U.S. flag on your back in Iraq. That'd be pretty stupid. You see, we need to realize that there is a battle. And Paul realized that there were many enemies. Not only the enemy within. You see, one of the greatest allies that Satan has is our flesh. Have you ever noticed that? I'll prove the point to you. It's very simple. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many people here are overweight? How many people said, "I'm going to lose weight"? How many people actually did? Don't raise your hand. Well, nobody can. I see. Don't you understand that the problem that we have is with the flesh? The flesh says we need to do this. You know, my doctors told me you need to exercise. Well, see, that was like 10 years ago. And one of these days, I'm going to start. I really am. If my knees will hold out. You see, Satan has an ally. It is our flesh. Our flesh desires the things against the Spirit. You see, the problem that many people have is that they don't realize that we're in a battle. We are in a battle. And one of the greatest battles that we have is with ourselves, in our own flesh. Paul says the flesh lusts or desires the things that the Spirit doesn't desire. And so that there's a constant battle. You see, the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is the non-Christian has no battle. He says, "There is no battle. If I want it, I'll take it. If I like it, I'll do it." But the Christian has a battle. And the worst thing that you can realize, worst thing that can happen is for you to not realize the danger. You take a child, 1-year-old child, just learned to walk out here on our sidewalk in front of the parsonage. It's a dangerous place because they're only 10 feet from death. They have no idea that if they walk into that street, they could get killed. It's a very dangerous situation. Because they do not realize. That's why when Victoria was born, I said, "We're building a fence. That way I can put her back there and I'm pretty sure I'll know where she's at." But you see, you say, "Well, that's why they've got parents." But you see, when do they get to the point that they realize the danger themselves? Hopefully in your spiritual experience, you've gotten to the point that you realize that there is a spiritual danger, that we are in a battle, that there are forces that want you to be defeated. There are forces that want you to fall. There are forces that want you to not succeed in the Christian experience. Do you understand that? It's true. It is true. Victoria asked such wonderful questions. What's grass made of? That's easy to explain. What's hard to explain is the devil. I know some people don't believe in a personal devil anymore. I think you need to read the newspaper if you don't believe in a personal devil. I think if you don't see the influence of evil. You know, it's like every time someone is captured or someone kills someone, we have to analyze the situation. We got to go back and find out what their great-great-great-great-grandparents did that caused them to kill this person. We have lost the fact that there is just plain evil in the world. Evil comes from Satan. Satan is evil. I was trying to explain that to Victoria the other day. And it's really difficult to explain the evilness of Satan. Why is Satan evil? Why is it that he doesn't like God? That's what she asked me. Why does the devil not like God? You need to understand, he doesn't. Kids have asked me, "Well, if the devil knows he's going to lose, why does he keep fighting?" You see, he is not worried about winning or losing. That is not, this old idea that Satan thinks he's going to win, that's not it. You see, his purpose is not to win. His purpose is to cause casualties. And the question is, are you going to be a casualty? You see, the battle isn't fought between God and Satan. It's fought right here on earth. We are the soldiers. It's what you and I do. You see, God has angels and they've never changed. They're holy and righteous as the day that they were created. Satan has angels and they have never done anything good. They aren't changing. They're not trying to convert the good, bad angels into good angels. The battle isn't there. The battle is here. Now, there are spiritual forces that work, but we need to realize that the battle is right here. The battle is in your life, and we are in a battle. The second thing that we need to realize is that we need to be prepared. Prepared. Now, does that make sense? It makes sense to me. We prepare for everything. You guys, most people prepare their ground before they plant it. People that go out for the Olympics, they prepare. If you don't think that you can need to prepare, invite me to go play golf with you someday. I've never played golf in my life. Wouldn't that be fun? Every once in a while, I go to a secondhand store, see all these golf clubs. I thought, I just ought to buy these, you know. You see, you have to prepare. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You need to prepare. To not prepare is to lose. You do not step up to the starting blocks of a race having never practice, having never run, and expect to win. It is not going to happen. Don't expect that you're going to, in the Christian life, win if there is no preparation. You see, in the verse there he says, "My brethren, be strong." That has an inference to it. The inference is that he is telling them to be strong. The inference is that you can be weak. Right? If you are instructed to be strong, you can be weak. And so if we don't prepare, we're going to lose the battle. What battle, you say? I'll tell you what battle. The battle for your mind and the battle for your heart. You see, there's a war going on, folks. Satan is trying to influence you. He's trying to influence your mind and he's trying to influence your heart. He has a lot of methods and he has a lot of ways of doing it. But his purpose is to pull you away from God. You see, as I told Victoria, Satan has a desire to be glorified above God. He wants you to worship him. If he can't get that, he will take second best, and that is to turn your affections away from God. And in this battle, what happens is that he uses various things. Now, Jesus is the only person who ever won all the battles. When Satan took him and tempted him, Satan lost. Jesus, each time, said, "It is written." Now, that ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you that one of the spiritual things that we can do to prepare for the battle is to know what the Scripture says. But you need to be aware, Satan knows what the Scripture says too. He understands what the Scripture says and he uses it to his advantage. I want to tell you something. When you get just totally discouraged, Satan has won a victory in your life. When you get down and you get depressed because of the situation that you're in, Satan has won a victory in your life. You say, "Wait a minute. I'm not stealing cars or robbing banks." You understand, it's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for your heart. And we need to be prepared, because if we are not prepared, we are not going to win. That's why we get so stressed. We get so depressed. We have all of these problems. It's because we've not gotten ready for the fight. The third thing that we want to see in this passage, as we'll discuss it over the next few weeks, is that our weapons are spiritual. They're God's weapons. Did you notice there in the passage what it says? It says, "Put on the whole armor of God." It doesn't say put on all your armor. It doesn't say put on all the armor you've got. It says put on the armor of God. You see, back in that day they had all this different armor. You know, that armor today wouldn't do you a lot of good, would it? No. You may have on armor, but if you don't have on God's armor, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. spiritual armor. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Each part of the armor characterizes a different part of the Christian growth. A various parts of the way that God wants us to grow so that we can be able to fight the fight. Now, you remember that famous quote from that great philosopher, Blake Nolan. Why doesn't God just get rid of the devil? You know? I mean, Blake asked me that 3 or 4 years ago. He wasn't very old at that time. Now, folks, that's a good question. I know adult Christians that haven't even thought of that question. I mean, if the devil's all this trouble and he's causing all this, why didn't God just get rid of him? I'll explain it to you very quickly. You see, without a pull in this direction, God doesn't know where you stand in relationship to Him. You see, if God says, I want you to serve me, I want you to love me, and there's no pull in another direction, there's no test of your faithfulness. There's no test of where you stand. You look at the lives of all the saints in the Old Testament. Did they have a battle? Absolutely. How did some of them come out? Not too good. How did some others come out? All right. It was based upon their relationship with God. But there was always this pulling them the other way. And that's why they have to have God's weapons, not our own. Each of these weapons that he lists here are gifts from God. Gifts from God. Nothing that you have of your own. What is so amazing, and we'll get into this later, but here it says where it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Don't want to bore you, but it's important that you understand this. In the Greek, there's different ways to say something. You can say it in the passive voice. You can say it in the active voice. Or you can say it in the middle voice. If you say it in the active voice, that means that you are doing it. This is not in the active voice. It's not in the middle voice. In the middle voice, that means you help it happen. In other words, go over there and get your stuff. This is in the passive voice. It's like a balloon. A balloon is just a piece of rubber. It's not until you put the air in it that it takes shape and form. You see, the balloon is somewhat passive in all of that. The only thing it can do is receive the air. You need to understand that the things that God gives us here and these weapons that He talks about and these armaments of defense that He talks about, they are something that we receive from God. They're gifts from God. But we have to be receptive. God is looking for us to be receptive, to receive these spiritual weapons. And then the last thing that we need to see in this is that our enemy is spiritual. Our battle in this world is not a political battle. Now, there's a lot of things about the political system I don't like. Matter of fact, I like to tell people that back in Jesus' day, there were two groups of people. There were the liberals and there were the conservatives. And they were both wrong. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and Jesus didn't have a lot in common with either one. I don't think that we need to look for a political solution. It is a spiritual solution. Putting the right man in the White House is a good thing. Putting the right man in Springfield is a good thing. Putting the right person in these places, that's all fine. But you need to understand that it is a spiritual battle. It is not a matter of education. It is a matter of spiritual renewal. And unless we realize that the battle that we are fighting is a spiritual battle, we will spend our money and we will spend our effort on those things which do not produce a lasting and a final solution to it all. It's not a physical battle. Paul says right here in our text, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle. Now, there are physical battles that need to be fought. And if someone tries to physically harm me and my family, I'm probably physically going to try to stop them. But I understand that there is something behind that. The physical is not responsible for its own. The physical is brought on by a spiritual problem. People that rob banks, folks, are not saints. They have a spiritual problem. people that murder people have a spiritual problem. If you solve the spiritual problem, they are no longer bank robbers and they are no longer murderers. It's not a matter of education. If you think it's a matter of education, you haven't been listening to the news about Enron and WorldCom. You see, those people weren't able to go out and rob gas stations. That was below them. So instead, they robbed billions of dollars. You have to understand that it's a spiritual problem. We are in a spiritual battle. The battle, Paul says, is against Satan and his forces. Sorry to say that a lot of people don't believe in a personal devil. They do not believe in a personal Satan. They think Satan, as it's described in the Bible, is kind of just an allegory that kind of envisions or embraces all the evil in the world. If there's anything that the Bible teaches, it teaches a personal devil. From the very beginning. Right on through. And Paul knows this. He said, we fight against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Peter said that Satan is like a roaring lion. He is seeking to devour us. You need to understand that roaring lions are dangerous. That makes sense to me. I used this illustration before. I said, you know, if they called here and they said, you know, there was a circus going through town, and they had a wreck up town here, and the whole wagon full of lions got loose, you guys wouldn't run out of here. You would understand there's danger. Peter says Satan is like a roaring lion. Paul says our battle is against spiritual forces. And you need to understand another thing that Paul said. Victoria wanted to know if Satan was ugly. Because everything that we know of as evil is ugly, isn't it? As a matter of fact, that's how we in the old Westerns, you knew who the good guys were, right? Good guys always wore what? White! White hats! I said, no, Satan is not ugly. He was the most beautiful of all of God's creation. Of everything that God created, Satan was the most beautiful of all of God's creation. Paul says that he is an angel of light. Now you need to be careful. I was doing some research on the internet, which many times is mostly fruitless. And I was reading all these passages where, man, there's just all kinds of stuff on there. Jesus has been talking to us all the time. I just didn't realize it. I mean, I found pages and pages signed Jesus there. A lot of them signed Paul, and some find signed. None of it's in the Bible, but boy, it just, these people got messages. You know, a lot of people get messages from an angel of light and they think it must be God. Folks, you need to understand, Satan isn't ugly. You need to be aware of his wiles. The word wiles there is the word from which we get our word method. You need to be aware of his methods. You know, even when I was in high school, in my illustrious football career, you all like to hear about my football career, don't you? What was it, 0-9 or something like that, I think. We didn't win a game. But we knew the plans of the other team. Yeah, we had scouts that went and watched them play. And we knew the plays that they were going to play. Why? Because we wanted to know the methods that they were going to use. Folks, if they do that in high school football, don't you think you ought to do that in your spiritual experience? Paul says that we need to know what Satan is doing and we need to realize that we're in a battle and we need to fight. I hope that you will be here for some of these messages. I realize we have some visitors here who won't be here, obviously. But still, this passage is full of information concerning these things. And that God will use it, hopefully, to help you win the battles of life.